Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to the Diverse in the Stars podcast. Today's special guest is Peter Makin. This is going to be a fun one, everyone. You know him as Lieutenant Commander Bordas on the Orville. Season 3 of the Orville will be available on Hulu June 2nd. Now come join me as we go traversing the stars. Hello, Mr. Makin. Thank you so much for coming to Traversing the Stars podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Really, my pleasure, sir. I'm a big fan of yours. The Orville is one of my favorite shows.
Mine too.
I would hope so. I hate to be like, oh, damn it. I hate this
show. No, no. I actually dig it, man. I would watch it if I had nothing to do with it, you know, because I love science fiction. And it's a fun show, you know, because of where it lives, you know, and like in between like the dramatic and comedic, you know what I mean? Like, and it's sci-fi, so it's like everything, you know, all in there. I guess minus, you know, a clown. No, we did have a clown.
And I think what I love about the show too is that it has grown over two seasons. Like from what it was in the first few episodes to what it became in the second season, you can Absolutely. Actually watch the show mature and finding its voice, the characters found their voice. And I think, you know, and I think that says off so much about the show and those and the creators behind it.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the joy of being able to spend so much time on you know, one world, right? You know, so you get to spend the time to three-dimensionalize and develop characters, and you know, we get to, you know, get to know everyone and watch them deal with, you know hyperbolic circumstances. And you know, in season three, man, it's wow, just I can't say enough about it. Like all of that is going to increase, you know, like threefold. I mean, things get deeper. The storylines are more complicated and intense, and there's still some funny, but you know, and you know, there's a lot of like the world has been just production values. I mean, they've really stepped up. You know, like they're like, we made a bunch of movies, is what it's like. You know, so I mean, the score. I mean, I was just showing my mom yesterday a recording session of the orchestra recording, you know, the score, and it's like 80 plus instruments going, you know, and for every episode, you know, what I mean, for every, you know, for every scene, you know. So I mean, it's huge, and so I'm super excited for fans to see what we created, because you know, I feel like it's a swan song. I mean, I don't know if it's a swan song, but I mean, if you really love the first two seasons, I think this is gonna blow you away.
You know, and I think one of the biggest misconceptions about the Orville, and I think it's a major misconception, is that when it first came out, people were like, okay, it's a Star Trek spoof. And right. Maybe the first episode or two may have been, but it became its own thing. It found its voice. And as the actor who plays Lieutenant Commander Bordas, how much say have you had in the direction of your own character?
A lot, you know, which is, you know, I mean, yeah, you can only spoof so much, you know what I mean? You know, you can only... You know, if you were doing like a half an hour long show, it could be, you know, like jokes all the time. But because it's now it's an hour, you know, we stand on the shoulders of Star Trek, obviously. And, you know, like there are some nods. I mean, Seth is a Star Trek fan, obviously. So like the uniforms and just sort of the clean lines of the design of the ship and all that. But, you know, it really... working on something like this long, you really get to spend some time, you know, developing. And so, you know, I created a character like I've never got to do that really before, which was awesome. And so, you know, when cats would come and audition to play Mocklins, they would use me as a reference. And I was like, oh, but, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, developing backstory, developing, you know, just stuff so that it makes my world makes sense. Like, for instance, like with the Jaloja having to urinate once a year, I was like, well, what happens if I don't, you know? And I said, well, I'm going to die, you know, like just to make it that. And I'm like, so, I mean, is he dragging around a large colostomy bag? Or what's like, you know, like, no, I mean, I came up with this theory that, you know, there's a chemical after a year, like there's like a chemical buildup in my I'm gonna drown in my own inner fluids. You know what I mean? So I mean, and that's funny,
right?
But you know, like in order to, you know, three-dimensionalize an alien, you have carte blanche, obviously, but like but I have to root all of my story in truth, you know, so that it's, I mean, even when I'm at my station, like I have a very particular way that I use my instruments, you know, and it's because I'm not just like randomly tapping buttons. I'm actually paying attention. And that's all stuff that I just built, you know, so that because if I was watching it, I'd be like, that guy's not, he's playing solitaire. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's been really cool, like in an honor as an actor, just as a, you know, a practitioner of the dramatic and comedic arts to build a world for myself, you know. And then everything is supported with all the writing, because it's such great writing, and Seth and the other writers write specifically, you know, for these characters. And so if there's something that, you know, doesn't ring true, which it has, I'm like, I think this is too wordy, or you know what I mean? It sounds too human, you know, because English is not his first language, obviously. Right. You know, I posted something on Instagram, like a funny picture of Bordas, and I was like, this is the look of failure on my human grammar test. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't do so well. I mean, I joke like that just to make it, you know, 100 for me.
Right. So going backtracking just a little bit, right? So when you first received the role of Bordas, right, for the Orville,
yeah,
and you were kind of like in the nascent stage of developing him as an individual, what were your first impressions of Bordas? What did you think to yourself as, you know, I can work with this? Was there anything there that, as you talked to the writers, you were like, nah, this got to cut this. That's not Bordas.
Not so much. I mean, there's some little tweaks here and there. Like as I said, that sounds like it doesn't sound like it's coming out of him. It sounds like it's coming out of someone writing about him. Mm. And so it's just tiny little tweaks, you know what I mean? Sometimes with this punctuation. And you know, like when I first auditioned, you know, I had the character description I got was that it was like someone like the thing out of the Fantastic Four, like a thing made out of rocks and boulders, just very hard. Mm. And you know, a lot of that is helped with the prosthetics, because I can only turn my head so much, and we all know the no neck turn is funny. So that was helpful to sort of root me in like the physicality of the person. And then I sort of like imagined if Sam the Eagle from the Muppets and Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh had a love child, it would be Bordas. And you know, I think he thinks he's funny, and because he thinks he's funny and he's kind of not, that's funny. So like my approach to all of the language, very dry, very, you know, like, you know, Seth is like, sometimes that's putting a hat on a hat, you know what I mean? He's thinking like too human. But like the you know, comedy is math and timing, right? So
right,
you know, in order for the jokes to really land or fly, like I can't comment on it, you know what I mean? Like, so like for instance, like when I first auditioned, it was a scene where Bordas is, you know, telling Ed that he's gonna lay an egg and he needs paternity leave, and Ed asks Bordas, are the eggs large? And I say, yeah, they are quite large. And when I auditioned, I wanted to comment on you have no idea how large things are. But he's like, that's actually taking away from the joke. And the joke is for him to be very factual about it and not comment on it, because he's not a, like a commenty kind of guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he just it is what it is, and that's what it is, right? So it's that kind of tinkering and that kind of, like, you know, just wordsman, like Seth is like a wordsmith, right? So like, I mean, he writes almost, and because he's such a musician too, like he writes, you know, like I always imagine like my dialogue is part of like a symphony, right? So then it has to be, you know, just sort of just right.
The thing I love about the Orville, and that differentiates it most from something like Star Trek, is that unlike the characters that exist in Star Trek, Orville characters, including Bordas, are not perfect people. screw up. They made mistakes. That episode with the, you know, you download the porn virus.
Oh God, almost killed everybody.
Right, right. And I think that's the best thing about the character, that they're not these perfect people.
Right.
So when you think about Bort, is like, what kind of flaws are you building into him as well that keeps him real and identifiable for your audience?
Conflict. You know, I think he's an extremely conflicted being, in that, you know, his relationship with his home planet. Right. Like, I mean, he leaves his home planet to join the union. Mm-hmm. So he's already thinking outside the box. I mean, he's already kind of a misfit, you know. And so, you know, the conflict of having a mate that is sort of a traditionalist, and, you know, that would be enough. And the fact that he's at my workplace, and, you know, but we have a child, in that, you know, so there's conflict between. You know, I think he's deeply conflicted between what his moral compass is. Is it, you know, because the moral compass of the show tends to lean itself toward the union, right? So, which is fairly human, right? I mean, so these human values, but like Mocklin values and human values and Krill values are vastly different. So, you know, trying to navigate and negotiate, you know, those that moral pendulum, I think, you know, is a lot for anybody to have to deal with. And I think it's relatable, you know, because we obviously in this country and in the world, without, you know, grandstanding, don't, you know, we're not a monolith. We think differently. We're individualists, and, you know, and which is Jean Genet, the French playwright, said the greatest tragedy in life is that every man has his reasons. Everybody thinks they're right. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks. So, you know, you put that together on an enclosed, you know, like space, like a spaceship where you can't get off. And, you know, it's like a pirate ships, you know, like pirate ships were like the first democracies, right? I mean, they were like, you know, like you, it's for the good of the ship. You know what I mean? And individuality kind of is seconded. And it is slightly a military, you know, feel to it, you know, like, so, you know, you talk to soldiers and they're like, listen, I don't have time to think about what's right and wrong. I just have to do what job is. And so, you know, when the ship is under attack, for instance, you know, like in the back of my mind, I know that my mate and my child are on board. You know what I mean? So not only do I have to do my job, with precision and without emotion, to save my crew, but to save my family. So these are huge stakes. And so, these are the things, like everything is kind of, it's not life or death. Not everything is life or death, but like there's not a lot of casual pedestrian, you know, decision making. Everything is pretty huge. And I think that's what keeps the stakes high. And then when the funny comes in, it's a great relief. You know what I mean?
You know, and the other great thing, once again, about Bort is, and, you know, often in a sci-fi show, the alien character usually is an allegory for any kind of marginalized group in society, as, you know, as some, you know, symbolically they represent, you know, any group you want them to represent.
Right.
When you're playing Bort and you're thinking about your character and the role, that's something you actually think about how many different people in the real world in groups look to a character like Bort as someone who can represent potentially them within the show.
I mean, I guess maybe in hindsight, yeah, you know, but like while I'm doing it, no, because I'm just like just inhabiting the world. And, but I am fully aware of, you know, the idea of other and the idea of different trying to coexist, and that, you know, and that's sort of the mission of, you know, keeping the peace, just even between Clyde and Bortus, like keeping the peace between, you know, my differences of what I, you know, think or feel separate from my duty. You know what I mean? So, you know, and I've gotten a bit of letters from, you know, the LGBTQ community, and like just dealing with like transgender, you know, or a gender assignment or non-binary, you know, identification. It feels good that the work that we're doing with this storyline or his character is relevant to, you know, things that were, I think when the whole episode about a girl, I think season one, episode three came out, there was still like the whole bathroom gate. You know what I mean? About like, you know, who can use what bathroom.
Right, right.
Ridiculously stupid shit like that, you know, and you'd think 400 or 500 years in the future, you know, we're not like, you know, burning up our fossil fuels, but, you know, and we managed to not, you know, be decimated by global warming, but we still have like pedestrian, you know, everyday to day issues that we're still trying to deal with. And I think that that's what is appealing to, you know, who wants to watch perfect people do? I don't, you know, cause that's right. Not life, right? You know, I mean, it's not anywhere near what the reality of life is. So, yeah, it's rich like that.
Yeah, and what I like about how the Orville deals with it is that the crew around Bordas, I mean, they you know, they're friends, they care about him, and sometimes they say some dumb shit from time to time because that's what people do, but they're still trying to learn and understand. And
yeah.
Bordas seems to be also tolerant of, yeah, the idiots are trying to understand them, but they're not there yet.
Yeah.
I think that's just how things are, right, but they're not bad people because of it. They're just trying.
Yeah, which is you know, you could write forever off of that,
right?
You know what I mean? Because that's what it is. You know, people like, what would it be like to be on a science vessel in a Union fleet that's not a warship? You know, that we're out exploring and pushing the envelope. I mean, that's I think, and if I think about a young Bordas in the academy, like that's what, you know, that's what trips his trigger. You know what I mean? Like the final frontier. Like, I mean, and it is a nod to, you know, Star Trek, and that,
right,
and that
right.
Star Trek was a show about voyaging and discovery and like seeking out, you know, expanding the universe. And to any, you know, sci-fi nerd, that's the button right there, that everybody has a common interest. It doesn't mean that we all know how to be around each other. I mean, I think that's what's so funny. And it would be shocking to find out, oh, wow, you lay eggs. Okay. And you know, there's like all these things to bump up against. And I find that you know, I'm sitting back, I'm just watching, you know, like the zany humans. And I'm like, what, you guys, something's wrong with you
people. Right. and it's funny because, like I said, because Bordas, like I said, he's a big guy, tough guy. He has laying eggs, you know. There's these other questions here, and you're still like, once again, it's also tends to kind of fly in the face of what would be considered masculine tough, you know. But he does it, and he kind of presents a different way of looking at it, you know.
Well, he's deeply sensitive as right. well. You know, I mean, like in a way, like a child is, you know, like the whole thing with the cigarettes. I mean, it's just like that's like, ooh, this. You know, I mean, it's very juvenile. It's very childlike. And it's this discovery of human culture. So just as he's finding out about, they're finding out about, you know, the crew is finding out about like alien, you know, existence. The aliens are finding out about human existence, and because right. they're aliens to us. Right. So as long as you keep that on the, you know, an equal playing field, it's interesting for everybody because it's a two-way street. And you know, like there's a lot to be mined out of that, and there's a lot that mirrors our own society. You know, like just trying to get along, man. Just trying to figure yes. this shit out and how we can coexist and not go the way of the dodo. You know right. what I mean? Like
exactly. And you know, and I think once again, another great character, and the fact that they have this character for Bordas is Clyden.
Yeah,
and Clyden's such a great character because it gives you a different side of Bordas. But also, Clyden has a very interesting history on the show, and it kind of gets you bored into a shit ton of trouble on the show.
Yeah.
I guess my question for you is Clyden, in your opinion, is Clyden even right for Bordas, considering how much trouble Bordas into?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they're like a yin and yang, right? You know what I mean? I think Clyden keeps Bordas honest and keeps him, you know, I mean, keeps him grounded in his in the reality and the history of where he's come from. And it also he also pushes Bordas to, you know, dig in and dig down on his belief systems and like what he really believes. I mean, and if it's conflict, but he makes him have to stand up for what he really believes. And you know, sometimes that comes at a cost, and sometimes like they butt heads. And but the great thing about their relationship is that there is a love that's connecting them and binding them. Because it would be so easy for him to, you know, But then again, it wouldn't be. Like I ask myself, if you know, people who are miserable with each other, you know, and they have children, they're like, well, we're gonna stay together for the kids. And then at the end of the day, it's not really, in my opinion, having gone through that, not what they think. Like the kids are actually suffering too. But like the conflict of if there was no Topa, if there was no child, why wouldn't Clyden just leave? Would he leave? I don't know. But I would like to think that he wouldn't. But then it's such a weird thing to have, you know, your mate on the ship. You know, like if you're on a submarine, you know, like you wouldn't have your spouse on the ship with you. But it's that sort of thing where, like, and you know, Clyden takes his vacations back to Mockless and stuff like that. But I mean, it is that sort of thing where you make the life choice to be on the ship with your mate. I mean, he shops entirely too fucking much, but you know, I'm like, what is he gonna do? Like, but he's a parent and he's taking care of the child too, so it's an interesting dynamic. You know, like one would argue that there's no, in reality, like I said, like you're on a submarine, there's no place for family in love and war, right? There's no place for, but this is not a warship. Again, it's an exploration vessel. So, you know, I think that there are some gray lines that are, you know, juicy and blurry, because, you know, it's not just a cut and dry military operation, you know, so there's room for family and, you know, people hooking up and stuff like that.
So, if it came down to it, right? Absolutely came down to it, would Bordas, you know, choose his responsibility as a member of the crew or his family in time of crisis?
You know what? That's there. That's the rub right there. Because I mean, that episode where he does, you know, give the ship a virus because of his, you know, porn addiction. I think that it's huge because, you know, like it starts from this very micro, you know, place of not, you know, getting along with my mate and my family situation. And it, you know, quickly, you know, turns into this macro situation where, because of that, I endanger 300 people's lives. You know what I mean? And so there's not a fixed answer for that. And I think that that's what's good, is because that's what's always going to be coming at Bordas, like family and duty, like family and like, and how they, you know, and how they mix in between, you know, so. And like I said, you can draw. That's a deep well.
So a couple of questions about season three. First off, what can our listeners expect from Bordas in season three? Is there anything you can kind of tease, perhaps spoil? We just won't tell anybody.
Hell no. First of all, just as a fan of the show, I don't like spoilers. You know what I mean? Like I want, and I like to watch, you know, I'll watch it sometimes. I'll go back and look at stuff. And just to enjoy it, because I'll forget. I'm like, oh wow, that's where we did that. And like, we shot for 2 years on season three. I mean, obviously COVID, you know, had a lot to do with that. But the episodes that we were shooting were so much bigger. You know what I mean? So like, they just took longer to shoot. So I actually have forgotten a lot of what we've done. I just have pictures in my head.
Are there a few Bordas centric episodes?
Oh yeah, I have quite a few big storylines to do. There's a whole lot of Bordas coming.
Good.
And some, you know, some relationship stuff with other crew members like that we haven't seen. I had a lot to do. I was working a lot. I'm so excited that I mean, there's, just put it like this. There'll be shit that you can't unsee. Okay.
That's gonna be the title of the episode. Some shit you just can't unsee will be the title. You
can't unsee. So, you know, be grateful for your virgin minds right now. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wrap.
So lastly, there's a phrase that you used earlier in the episode. I'm going to come back to it. And so you got to expand on it. You said season three is the swan song, which usually means the end. Is it the end, or do we have a fourth season potentially discussed?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I guess it largely will depend on how well it's received. Do you know what I mean? No one can really say. I know that, you know, we're there. There's a lot more to do. I threw my hat in the ring for, I was like, we should do an animated episode, or we should do an episode of like a musical with puppets. You know, we should do, you know, like, this is so much. And so it largely depends on how it's received. And I think, and I say swan song, meaning like not the end, but just that so much went into it, you know, like, and just slogging through COVID. Like, we were getting tested 5-6 days a week, you know, like, you know, like the model that we had just for functionality, like, just, I mean, everything, this is a big crew, a lot of people, you know, we lost people to other jobs, you know, because, you know, crew members, because it's like, it was just taking forever.
Right.
But I say swan song because so much went into the creation of this season, that if this is the last season, which I hope that it's not, or that there's a movie or something, you know, behind it, it's a great, you know, mic drop, you know what I mean? Like, and I think, I hope that it's just that good that people will be like, no, we need more, and we need more, and we need a movie, and we need lunchboxes and action figures, and you know what I mean? No.
So if they go, you know, Mr. Macon, are you interested in doing season 4? We're thinking about it. You're signed up.
Hell yeah. Good. Hell yeah.
Just want to make sure. Yeah. Can't lose Bordas. Can't lose Orville.
No, I love that guy. I love, and there's only more to, you know, experience. Although we did quite a lot in this third season, so maybe there's no place else to go. So, I don't know. But absolutely, man. Absolutely. I love it. I love the character, and I just love wearing that makeup, you know, because it's just like so fun just being, you know, someone else and really like three-dimensionalizing a fictitious character, right? I mean, and that's an actor's dream. So I mean, I would do this until, you know, there was this meme going around where what you look like when you're 100 and something years old. I would do it like that before this is geriatric, you know what I mean? Like, and there's more funny in there too, you know what I'm saying?
Right
Really old man, come on. You know what I mean?
Well, you gotta do the future, a future episode then that goes in or looks at 100 years in the future of Bordas.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, because we age really fast, but I mean, I think we live really long too. So, but yeah, that I'm already riffing in my mind about, you know, what that looks like, and it's hilarious.
So season 3 is the first time that the Orville premieres on Hulu first.
Yes.
So when can our listeners get their hands on the Orville on Hulu?
June 2nd is the premiere date, and then there will be, and then it's weekly after that.
Awesome.
You know
what I mean?
So, and there'll probably be some, you know, some repeats, and it's going to be on Disney Plus in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I think, China, I think, I think, but yeah, I mean, there's a, if you go to the Hulu website, I'm pretty sure that all of that's, and I have it somewhere, but it's just not coming to mind, but it will be pretty readily available all over the world, because I know that, like, and it's on Stars, I think in Australia or something like that, but anyway, it's going to be out there all over the world, and you know, like maybe not Africa yet, I know, but they're still working on that. But yeah, surprisingly, like Lithuania, like crazy places like we didn't even, you know, like all over. So yeah, June 2nd on Hulu, and then every week.
Well, Mr. Macon, I can't wait to watch it. Orville is one of my favorite shows. Me and my wife watch it. Used to watch it every week when it came out. We're looking forward to the new season. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a great pleasure.
I really appreciate it. I thank you for reaching out and wanting to talk to me about it.
Oh, like I said, yeah, I had to talk to Bordas.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And enjoy season 3, man. It's
thank you.
It's going to be wonderful. So